Government and opposition forces in Syria are accusing each other of using chemical weapons in the north of the country. Witnesses in an area near the northern city of Aleppo have reported cases of suffocation and a strong smell of chlorine. While the Syrian civil war is thought to have killed more than 70,000 people, it's worth remembering the toll that it's taking on the nation's children. In the battle-weary city of Aleppo, half the population is under 18. They face constant danger, and adding to their plight is the fact that half of their schools have been closed. It's even worse for children and teachers in the rebel-held east of the city. From there, Middle East correspondent Matt Brown filed this report.
If the schools of a nation are to prepare its next generation, then they also offer telling insights into its future, and the picture in Aleppo is bleak. More than 1 million kids here are school-aged, but just 6% are actually getting to class. The UN has documented the killing of over 100 school workers in Syria, and more have died in Aleppo than any other city. Some are fighting back, but there's division over what they're actually fighting for. In a frontline suburb in the south, a high school French teacher, who used the pseudonym Abu Muhammad, takes me through his now smashed classroom. Masked by a scarf and carrying an assault rifle, he's an extraordinary symbol of the way this war has changed so many Syrians. He names the child who once sat at each desk. When he gets to one in the back of the room, he chokes up. This is where Ayham sat, and now he's been killed, he says. He was shot in the neck 4 days ago. We sent him for treatment in Turkey, but they couldn't save him. The teary-eyed educator has now laid down the chalk and taken up arms with the Free Syrian Army. I left teaching because most of the free soldiers are labourers and uneducated people, and I want to teach them that the aims of the revolution are to eliminate corruption and bribery. It turns out that Abu Muhammad has his eyes on ending inequality everywhere. Our revolution is an international revolution, he says. There are so many poor people around the world because the rich are monopolising all the wealth. But most of his peers have a different agenda. Just up the road, I meet a white-bearded sheikh, Mahmoud Mjadami, leading a ragtag band of rebels back from the front line a few hundred metres away. While his men shoulder aged rocket-propelled grenades, a brand new sniper rifle and ancient AK-47s, the sheikh tells me he's fighting for a very different world to the one imagined by Abu Muhammad. But first, by way of proving his moderation, Mahmoud Mjadami told me he and his men have ordered a group of hardcore Al-Qaeda fighters just a few blocks away to leave town. We asked them to leave because the people did not accept them. They wanted to control people by force, and our Quran is against coercion because control and judgment is for God alone. But the sheikh was trained as an Islamic scholar at Cairo's famous Al-Azhar University, and until the rebellion began, he'd been teaching the Sharia to law students in Aleppo. And while he's opposed to Al-Qaeda, he is fighting for an Islamic State. Of course we'll have an Islamic State, he says. We are mostly Muslims, and an Islamic country is based on the democracy you guys always talk about. The two teachers are in units operating a stone's throw from each other. They agree on the fight against President Bashar al-Assad, but after 2 years of civil war, there's still no agreement on what will come after. And as European nations ramp up military support for the rebels, that issue looms ever larger amidst the fight to bring down a tyrant. This is Matt Brown reporting for AN.